Happy Tuesday, everyone. The Ira Kaufman podcast is on. We are live at One Buck Palace. Bye week is done. Falcons week is here. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is in the house. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper is here. We're fired up. 2-2, the Bucks. We just saw something, Ira. Welcome. We just saw that if the season ended today, the Bucks are in the damn playoffs. How are you, Ira?
I'm feeling chipper. The Chicago game's passed me. I'm like Derrick Brooks. Burn the tape like he did with the 99 tape out in Oakland. Burn it. Ceremonial burning. 2-2. A road win against a division foe. And a chance to be 2-0 against division foes on the road. If they do that and go up to 3-2. And what a time to play the Falcons, by the way, Lee. Mm-hmm. Things are going to look much, much brighter around Tampa if the Bucs win this game. They got a big opportunity in front of them.
I mean, if the defense shows up and holds them.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. To win a shootout. They might.
Yeah. Well, along those lines, Oklahoma, football powerhouse in college. They lost to Texas this week, but still in the running for a national championship. And they have, you know, the Bucks are just hoping to get to the playoffs. Oklahoma, their national championship.
They made an executive decision.
They fired their defensive coordinator. Of course, some Bucks fans are like, so what are you talking about? I'm listening to the Bucks. I'm not listening to the Sooners. But here's the catch. You know, some people infer that Mike Smith is safe because he's a buddy of Dirk Cutter's, even though Cutter publicly said, no, this is a business last week. He said that. Well, the defensive coordinator of Oklahoma, or I should say former defensive coordinator of Oklahoma, happens to be the brother of the guy who hired the head coach. So that's a ballsy move, man. That's a ballsy move. But that just goes, you know, when Dirk Cutter is saying, you know, what's that going to prove? Well, apparently a team in college that has higher aspirations than the Bucks this year, that did not stop them.
Steve, all eyes are on the press box at Mercedes-Benz Stadium because that's where Mike Smith's going to hang out, in the press box. Is he going to go down on the field to shake things up? Unlikely. Unlikely.
I'm glad you brought that up, Ira, for two reasons. One, you watched the Bears game on television. I did as well. I watched it a couple times, a film. I don't remember ever seeing a shot, Fox cameras, looking at Mike Smith in the press box. Do you remember seeing it? Usually when a defense is getting slaughtered or a guy's on a hot seat, they do that, and nothing for Mike Smith. It was bizarre. It's like, come on, give us the coordinator shot. I was surprised. But
maybe Smith was in a blacked out, had a blacked out window in front of him and couldn't see what was going on the field.
They usually doesn't stop him. I mean, Dan Snyder caught on when Dan Snyder first took over the Redskins, and he was just outraged. The networks would show him in his booth. Well, he tried to hide behind, like you said, tinted glass. It didn't work. Behind that tinted glass is Dan Snyder.
Along those lines, I watched the premier matches because I watched Manchester United. By the way, they had a big rally. They might have saved the coach's job. That guy was hanging by a thread.
And by the way, for Bucks fans who don't care about the NFL, that is
Manchester United Premier League. They were down 2-0.
Which is related to the Bucks? How?
Same owner.
Okay.
When I watch these Premier League games, and there's a lot of controversy going on with Man U because they're off to a terrible start, and they're in the middle of the table. They call it the standings as the table, and Man U, you're supposed to be in the top four. You're supposed to be. Anyway, they never show the Glazers. I assume there's at least one Glazer at these matches. They never show them. They show the executive chairman, a guy named Woodward. They never show the ownership. What's going on here? Can I get a shot of Avi Glazer?
Well, what I was waiting for in the Bears game was a shot, an end zone shot of Lovie Smith laughing his ass off at the Bucks defense. That's what I was hoping to see, but I didn't see it. However, Ira, great news. On Friday, 4 o'clock, Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, one of our great presenting sponsors here with Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa, John Cooper, Lightning head coach, a lot of Lightning fans out there, that's for sure, will be appearing at Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, 4-6. You will be out there as well, so you can meet the Sage and John Cooper. If you're lucky, you can get a picture with both at the same time. How valuable is that?
As soon as you said the word Sage, you had to cough and throw up over there. You see what goes on?
Ira, of course, that cough and throw up didn't make it on the podcast. I edited it out. Come on, nobody wants to hear that. Anyway, Sage, Causeway Boulevard.
Fans can come out.
Fans can come on out. Causeway Boulevard, just east of 75. Very easy to get to. Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon. Of course, their website, edmoorescadillacbrandon.com. You can start your shopping search there. All kinds of fantastic offers. And Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa, general manager Brian Dennehy has big news, Ira. The brand new 2019 XT4 crossovers are in and ready for immediate delivery at Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa. Take one home during the Big Win sales event.
I'd love to.
For just $4,
as soon as you give me the go ahead, I'd love to.
For just $4.59 a month lease.
Holiday bonus?
Holiday bonus, baby.
$459 a month lease, Ira. Yes, that's the new XT4. Only $459. Rush to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher, or click edmorriscadillactampa.com. The dealer has all the details. A lot of offers on our website at joebucksfan.com.
That's a heck of a deal, Steve. That is a heck of a deal.
$459 sure yeah. is.
The new, XT4, you got to look at that. You can see it at both websites, edmorriscadillactampa.com and edmorriscadillacbrandon.com. Sage, we'll talk more about that next time. Your appearance with Mr. Cooper, and I expect him on the podcast for maybe 3-4 minutes. We'll get him on there see if he likes the Mike Smith defense, and then we'll get him out.
He probably knows Jason Light. They probably know each other over the years.
I have no idea, but what
I'd
do know,
if he didn't.
Here's what I do know, Ira. We're out here at $1, and they roll out all the assistants coaches today. Not all the assistants, some, as part of a new NFL rule that says the assistant coaches have to be available once a month, which is pretty cool.
And as president of the local chapter of the PFWA, it's my job to enforce those rules, Mr. Isbitz, and call the Bucks when they're falling short. And by the way, I'm sending a note to Bob Glauber from Newsday. You guys don't know this yet, but I'm announcing it on the podcast. I'm sending
like
a text
Green.
To Glauber, and I'm telling him that in his next newsletter, he should be giving some props to the Bucks PR staff for making these rooms that are at $1 place available for podcasts. They don't have to do that. Give them credit. They are doing that, and we appreciate it.
We do appreciate it, and we know they're bugged, and so they do have a little advantage there.
You see, I ran him up the flagpole, and he cuts them down. This is what he does.
All right, Sage, look, this is interesting. First, Dirk Cutter spoke today, and Dirk Cutter said he sort of sent players after the bye week. Before they left, he gave them a bit of a survey. Not all players, but select players. He surveyed them, and he wouldn't give all the questions or details, but he did say one of the discussions was about player feedback on fast starts, better starts. And Cutter almost, I felt, slipped a little bit, saying that that's our huge, giant focus going into Atlanta is, you know, starting fast.
Well, based on the last two games, obviously.
Right. What do you make of that, given that Jameis Winston is a new starter, or the back as the starter, and this is a guy who's struggled at fast starts, and maybe that'll put pressure on Jameis?
Well, the first thing I like about it, Lee, is that you're asking for input from the players. Whether you take it or not, at least you're asking. And as a player, Lee, it makes you more inclusive as a player. I think that's a plus.
Empowerment.
Nice one there, Lee. So I give Cutter credit for that. I think that's a smart strategy. And I do think they will take players like McCoy and Levante David and Pierre Paul. I think they'll take their input seriously. These guys have been around. They've played a lot of football. And they know what they're doing out there. If there's a suggestion for communication or even tweaking the scheme, I think it should be taken seriously. As far as to Steve's point about faster starts, Lee, let's be honest. As far as the Chicago game, there ain't nothing Jameis Winston could have done if he started that game that was going to change a thing. Not one damn thing. The Pittsburgh game, yes, self-inflicted. Steve, that was a big phrase from Cutter on Monday morning. Lee, you heard him. Self-inflicted wounds. I don't think they're all self-inflicted. I mean, that sounds good.
Mike Smith?
Sound bite. You know, but the fact is there could be some talent questions. There's some injuries to deal with. And if anybody knows about injuries, it's the team they're playing, the Falcons. They make the Bucks look like they got a full roster. Dan Quinn's pulling his hair out over there. Faster starts, yeah, very nice to think about as a theory. But let's apply it. Defense, keep the game close so maybe they can run the ball a little bit and work on that running game, which needs a lot of work, Lee.
Your running game needs work. First thing that comes to mind with your statement there is, well, the three picks in the first half against Pittsburgh, that's fairly self-inflicted. One-score game, was it, if I remember correctly? So I agree with that point. But you know how many wrecks you caused? When you lauded, now mind you, I'm a fan of this guy, so I'm not talking on both sides of my mouth here. I'm just talking from about 50% perspective of fans. When you lauded Cutter for getting input from Gerald McCoy, you imagine how many wrecks you cause? There are people out there that can't wait to get rid of McCoy. They think McCoy's worthless. They think the reason why the defense stinks is because of him. And then you laud Cutter about getting input from McCoy. Like,
well,
what?
Lee, that's a great point, and I'm going to say it right up front, and I don't care if McCoy's listening to this podcast later this week. Gerald, you got to play better. You got to play better.
Yeah,
you're not the only one. You got to play better.
That's fair.
And the guy next to you, off your right shoulder, is playing better. JPP. So, McCoy, you got to pick up your game. You can play better. We've seen you play better. He's certainly far from the only guy on that defense. But, you know, he's a perennial Pro Bowler. Perennial Pro Bowler, supposed to lead the way. Right now, he's got to elevate his game.
I think that's fair. I'm
not sure he'd disagree with me himself.
I agree, yeah. Gerald's a fair guy. Like I said, I was just giving you a perspective of a large segment of fans. They can't stand
Gerald.
Well,
that's Ian Beckles world over there. You know, I understand
that's
that.
A good point. Now, what do you think about this? Since we're on the subject of defensive line, maybe it's me. Maybe I had a low expectation. But today, Brenston Buckner spoke. The guy had about 20 minutes worth of stuff. We go on all afternoon about some of the stuff, including a question he answered of yours. When he was asked about Vita Vea, Buckner said, hey, you look like a guy who hasn't played since the Fiesta Bowl. He had a different bowl name. But now, me, I had the same theory. I didn't expect much, if anything, from Vea. I thought he impacted the game. And I'll tell you what I was doing. For a good chunk of time he was in the game, I had my binoculars on him because I wanted to see what this guy was doing, you know, making his NFL debut.
So you put your fork down from the deep dish pizza and you picked up your binoculars.
See, it was like the guy was in the press box watching
Boom.
Me.
And that was for you, Javier. Go ahead.
And I thought he impacted the game. The reason why I said that, they tried one run up the middle while Vea was in there, and the running back had to bounce outside because Vea quite literally did a sumo wrestling move on the center and just threw him to the ground. Steve even put that clip out on Twitter, thought it was great. I thought Vea did well considering, and I emphasize this, considering it was his NFL debut, considering he missed virtually all of training camp, considering he hasn't played a football game since the Fiesta Bowl. And I don't know if that came through on TV because a lot of people were like, oh, Vea was nothing. He was horrible. Well, who the hell expected him to be Mean Joe Green his first time at bat?
Steve, what I like about Buckner's answer about Vea, and I don't like it, I love it, is he didn't lavish praise on Vea, although he did some good things out there. I like the fact that Buckner's keeping that foot down on that pedal that you got to do better. My expectations are higher. The only guy I think that he would say through the first quarter of the season, Steve, is JPP. That's lived up to expectations.
Yeah, he had a lot of love for JPP today. I asked him the question about Vea. I sort of asked him, hey, what'd you see? And I got out of the way because Buckner, you know, lets it rip. I thought there were two interesting parts of what he said. First was Vea learned that he's a very special talent. That was very key element there. That Vea probably saw these plays that Lee was referencing that, hey, you know, he did some very special things in that game, which showed his ceiling to himself. But I thought the other interesting nugget was Buckner said that Vea is only 25% mentally and technique wise. That's the number he put on it, which, well, hey, you know what? If he can get up to 75% and, you know, maybe, the Bucs can really, really improve. But I asked you, you got away from your answer, Sage. I asked you about Jameis and the pressure and the fast starts, and you started running in different directions. You think Jameis is going to come out here sound as far as calm, or if he's going to be going off the wall and being himself, which is fine. I just want him to play well. I don't care how he acts off the field. But what do you think is going to happen? And do you think that will push Monken and Cutter into trying to establish that run game earlier to relax Jameis?
I believe the latter is the likely thing. And you were there when I asked Mike Bajakian, who coaches Winston, how often do you have to remind Winston or any quarterback to play? And I think you do it less with Fitzpatrick. Play within yourself and don't try to do too much. And I even threw out there, Steve, because here's the extra layer of this. The defense has played so poorly all season, particularly the last 2 weeks.
Ours or Atlanta?
I'm talking about the Bucs. I'm not letting Mike Smith off
you
the hook
here. You
had
a smirk on your face.
Steve, given that backdrop, if you're Jameis Winston, if you go into this thinking, you know, I got to make something happen on every play, I can't trust my own defense, I think that's only going to screw him up. The fact that this is his first start since what? December? Of 2017. He's already hepped up, you know, every week. You got to calm him down, Steve, at the start of this game. I think he's got to play under control. And if he does, given what's going on in Atlanta, I think the Bucs have a very good chance. Look, the Falcons are only 3.5-point favorites, 3 for the home field. That means it's an even game for the odds makers. When's the last time that ever happened with the Bucs going to Atlanta? Usually they're 6-7 points favored. Right now, the Bucs are a better team than Atlanta. Part of it's the injuries. You talk about Buck injuries. Lee, the Falcons are decimated. Don't try to do too much, Winston. Play your normal game. Easy to say, but Jameis has had a problem with that in the past when games start. Didn't I have that stat that he only threw 5 first quarter touchdowns? I don't know if that still holds, but it was in late last season. That was the number, 5.
Yeah, how poor he's been in the first quarter.
Yeah. Yep.
So, Lee, he's got to approach this in a very deliberate manner.
You know, and you're not wrong, but we're talking Jameis here. I just don't think the guy's wired like that. I really don't. Something tells me Jameis, and I'm a big Jameis fan, obviously. I make no bones about that. Something tells me Jameis is going to hit his stride as a quarterback when he hits 30. I hate to use the word maturity, but when he's matured, I guess is a better term. He reminds me, and this is a real plow jockey analogy, he reminds me of a bird dog my dad used to have to go out quail hunting. That dog was so flippin' excited, show up on a Sunday morning and go hunting. I mean, it was like a poodle. It was bouncing around. Took a couple hours.
I'm sure Winston's happy to be compared to a bird dog.
A couple hours to calm down until he did his job because dog was so excited. I hate to use that kind of analogy, but Jameis sort of reminds me of the guy. But he's not wired like that. I the Chicago game, he came. There was one play where he ran and ran and ran and ran to buy time. And I just said to myself, I know Jason Light heard me. I said it out loud. I said, this guy just doesn't quit. It's not in his vocabulary.
Steve, do you think the things that Winston has gone through in the last 3 or 4 months could have an effect on in tempering his excitement? Look, you don't want to turn the guy into a zombie, but you know what I mean. instead of going crazy with the, the big celebration.
I don't think so. No, I think he's just going to be himself, and that's what he knows. And if he starts thinking about, ooh, maybe I shouldn't do this or do that, or I have to worry about my pregame speech, you don't want him thinking about that. Just go out and be there. But he should be thinking through all his training about what he does on the field and staying calm, and all the things he reminds himself as a quarterback and his keys and all that stuff.
Steve, last year in Atlanta, which ended up being a close game, the Bucs didn't show up in the first half. They got buried in the first half.
Yeah, you need to look at that game a little bit more, Sage.
First half?
Well, it was a crazy game. I mean, they came back, but the Falcons.
Well, it was the Julio Jones
game.
It was
a Mohamed Sanu game, the Jones. It was a mess.
But the Buc offense didn't do much in the first
But they
first
were in
half.
That game with about 8 minutes
they
left.
They were.
They came
but
back.
But the first half, they
no,
didn't do much offense.
It was the same old slow starts. But Lee was talking about that bird dog, Ira, that hyper crazy dog, and we think of Jameis' pregame speech. I know what makes you crazy, which is A, a free food, B, a chance at some cash. So Lee and I are going to throw a chance at some cash at you right now. We're going to tap your wisdom and see if you can pull this off.
I got a nickel in my truck.
What do you got, some kind of trivia question or something?
It's a little bit of trivia, but it ties to the upcoming game. Now,
how much cash is involved?
If you get it right, you get $50 if you get this correct.
This is on the podcast. Guaranteed.
On the podcast, right here. You have no idea.
Take note, Javier.
All right, here we go. $50 if you get this right.
Let me get my coffee. Hold on. All right. All right, go ahead.
All right, Sage. I want you to, and this illustrates what the Bucs are walking into. If you can tell me the name of the two defensive ends who started for the Falcons on Sunday against the Steelers, I'll give you $50.
Oh, boy. Well, $50, but I don't even know. I don't think I can come up with a guess. There goes that $50.
All right, Sage. No guess? No guesses?
No guess.
All right. I'm going to throw this. Well, I guess.
They don't even have Adrian Claiborne anymore. What am I supposed to do?
No. You know what? This is how depleted they are. Starting at the Falcons at defensive end yesterday, defensive end Brooks Reed.
Brooks Reed.
And Steven Means, the Buccaneers, fourth
round. Oh, out of Buffalo. Remember
out
when
of
they
Buffalo.
Got him out of Buffalo?
Lovey once called him the prototype defensive end for this.
And people wonder why he's struggling in Illinois.
So that's what the Falcons are throwing out at DeMar Dotson and Donovan Smith.
Grady Jarrett didn't play either.
Grady Jarrett didn't play. I watched that game, and the Falcons had no answer for all the on offense, no answer for the blitzes of the Steelers.
6 sacks, correct?
He got smacked around, and they've got no pass rush. I think they hit Ben Roethlisberger 4 times. I think the Bucs hit Trubisky 3 times, maybe 4 times. So think about how much the Bucs hit Trubisky, and that's what Atlanta did to the Steelers.
Now, the game was tight at the half. It was tight, but Atlanta did not show up in the second
half. They lost 41-14, Ira. It was a blowout. They crushed him.
I thought it was 13-10.
No, it was tight early, but most games are. But no, I know what you're saying. But still, it illustrates the opportunity here for the Bucs offense. And I just wanted to give you a chance at some cash.
I didn't even muster a guess.
I wouldn't
with
have been
50
able to
bucks
guess.
On the line.
I had read about Steven Means, but that name just blew by me. I just didn't register it.
Is Claiborne playing somewhere?
He's on the Patriots.
Playing?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Playing is one thing. Blunt
scored 2 touchdowns, by the way, yesterday. Yeah,
he did. Oh, and some fantasy fun, Ira.
I'm not having any fantasy fun. Never mind your fantasy.
I said
fun.
On the last podcast I was picking up the Chiefs defense. I actually had a guy email after that podcast posted and basically say, "You are such a moron. I can't believe I waste time listening to the three of you." Any idiot who would pick up the Chiefs defense, we saw what happened yesterday.
How many points you get, though?
I got 22 out of those
and
guys.
I got Jacksonville. I had the opposite defense. I got 3.
That was a good try.
I got 3.
Good try. All right, now look.
I'm getting killed out there, Lee.
Dirk Cutter was asked by you, Ira, about the running game today. Asked about the running game.
Not Fishman.
And I also reminded him it ain't been any good for the last 2 years either. I threw that in there.
Yeah, and this was fantastic. I told Lee about it because he didn't remember it, and I saw it on the replay. I didn't remember it initially either. Cutter throws out an answer that he went fishing to a different question. He was fishing. He didn't, you know, if went fishing during the bye week. He didn't watch football.
And somebody asked, "What'd you catch?"
And somebody says, "What'd you catch?" And he says,
a few snook
and a trout. And you say, "And a cornerback."
I did.
And he laughed. He laughed.
Did I get a laugh out of him?
Yeah, he laughed.
All right.
I suggest everybody go back to the film. It's hilarious that Cutter didn't try to bite your head off there.
But I did ask him about the running game, Steve.
You asked him about the run game, and here's a troubling response or two.
You taking notes on the Cutter
notes.
Press conference?
Got notes.
Outstanding.
First, he doesn't really say that we need to establish a running game. He sort of says
that. Yeah, it was an interesting answer.
He said a lot of teams are pass-first teams now, implying that the Bucs are going to be that going forward. And then he said, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's really nothing wrong with that, being a pass-first team. So I thought...
That wasn't my question, though.
It wasn't your question, right. I thought of two things right away, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think. First, you just drafted a freaking running back at 38 overall. If it's not that important, why'd you do it? So that was number one. It's like, come on, man.
That's a Jason question.
And number two, a lot of teams are pass-first teams now. Dirk Cutter stood in front of us before the season started and said, "We need 2,000 yards on the ground, 125 yards a game. That's the formula to get to the playoffs." What do you think? What do you think?
What a memory is, but Scott.
He does.
When it comes to statements from that podium, he doesn't forget a thing. Lee, I got no problem with pass first because now you're joining 27 other teams in the league. You know, if you don't have Todd Gurley, you know, and the Rams are pretty damn good throwing the ball, too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you don't have Todd Gurley or Ezekiel Elliott, you know, you're a pass-first team, and you can win 12 games that year.
By the way, that's why Cowboys fans are jumping out of buildings today.
But, Lee, it doesn't answer my question. When you run the ball, you're not any good. That didn't answer the question. I use the word efficiency. 3 yards a carry, 3.1, Steve, whatever it is, might be 3.1 now. It's still terrible. 4.0 is the standard. 4 yards a carry. It's not tremendous, and it's not bad. Let that be your mark. And they're woefully short.
Yep.
And my bigger point is it hasn't been any good since Cutter was the offensive coordinator. It hasn't been any good.
Not with Doug Martin that's first year?
That was offensive coordinator. That was 2015.
Yeah. Oh, since he has taken over as head coach.
Yeah.
Okay.
It hasn't been any good for 2 year plus. And, Lee, doesn't that lead you to conclusion? The line's not a very good pass blocking line.
Well, that's part of it, but also, you know.
You don't have Doug Martin to beat up
that's
anymore,
true,
Lee.
But there's no way you could say that he was an effective running back after 1 year.
But you got nothing to say now. You got nothing.
Well, this gets to both of your guys' questions. You're both puzzled about this. I think I have the answer. You know, Dirk, as Steve pointed out, Dirk said, you know, the magic elixir is 2,000 yards from a running back.
Now he says, as a group.
Now he says, not too many teams are running. Well, you know what? Cutter had the light bulb go on in his head about passing on first down, and here's why. I read this morning. Yeah, I actually read once in a while. The Bucs on first down runs, 5th worst in the NFL. 3.3 on first downs. So the reason why Cutter went pass first, because he's not getting any results on the running game.
But why isn't he getting any results in the running game? That's the million-dollar question.
Well, I'll just go quote him. And the only reason, I'll just quote Cutter from last year. If I had Gale Sayers in the backfield, I'd use him.
Steve, if the passing game is as prolific as it has been, except for the Chicago game when they got blown out early, if that continues, Steve, for another 3-4 games, shouldn't that in theory loosen up the opposing defenses and let you run the ball a little bit better? In theory, Steve, if you can keep throwing like this?
Absolutely, in theory. You're not going to stack the box against a high-flying offense. That would be stupid. So, sure, absolutely, it should help. We don't know if it will or what they'll do.
You don't have a problem with the pass-first offense. No, that wasn't my question.
No, look, the Bucs, as it stands now, number one offense in the league in yards per game. Can you argue with that? No, you can't. And they're eighth in scoring. So, But what do you think there's going to be
But, Steve, part of that, guys, Lee, this is the this is the underlying thing that never gets mentioned is when you throw the ball a lot, even if you are scoring, and this is a big play offense now. We haven't said that about the Bucs forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Maybe for the first time in franchise history. This is a big play offense with the passing
Williams?
Game. What's that?
Not even when Williams is around?
But not to this extent where, you're getting 440 yards a game.
Okay, because I was thinking of when he said big play, I was thinking of, wing the ball down the field.
Steve, big play offense, even though you're scoring, which is tremendous, your defense is right back on the field. When you run the ball and you have a mix and you throw in some 12-play drives, you're chewing up clock, and that defense, Mike Smith's defense isn't on the field as much, Lee.
It's kind of, I don't disagree, but
I can't argue with scoring points.
Exactly. I'm starting to wonder if it's chicken or the egg, Was it Gerald McCoy? There was somebody on defense early in the year was raving about, man, we get more of these one-play drives, we're going to be fantastic. And so I don't think anybody's going to complain about one-play drives, but then again, like you said, the defense is back on the field. Do you substitute points for time of possession? I don't know. It's kind of, like I said, chicken or the egg.
Steve, I'm going to ask you point blank. You always ask me point blank. I'll ask you. If they go out Sunday and they lose 38-28, is Mike Smith still the defensive coordinator? Should he be? If it's just as bad after the bye week.
Well, the should he be, I've already answered. We already wrote, fire the guy, shouldn't be there now. Now, if this happens again, if it's 38-28, as you say, and it's just really just an old-fashioned shootout, well, of course he should be. I mean, you had 2 weeks to prepare for Mike Smith is more intimately familiar with Matt Ryan and that offense than anybody around. So, I mean, come on.
We got to see significant improvement, Lee, to give the fans any kind of hope.
Well, I would just settle for improvement. I don't know about significant. Baby steps here.
And Atlanta's defense is just as bad as the Bucs, if not worse, just as bad.
Yeah, only a couple of points apart. And as you referenced, I believe, in your column, your award-winning column presented by Ed
and
Morse.
They're ravaged by injury.
Of course, your column, Ira, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, where you will be Friday 4-6 with John Cooper, coach of the Lightning. I don't know who's a bigger star. I really don't.
Yeah. Don't forget about Fan Retreat either, Stephen.
I didn't forget about Fan Retreat. That's where you get all your tickets for every game: Lightning tickets, Bucks tickets, baseball tickets. If you want to head to the playoffs, all your concert tickets, event tickets. Ira, I know Elton John's
coming to town.
That's on your radar. FanRetreat.com, great, fantastic, Florida-owned secondary ticket market outlet. You can use your Joe Bucks fan discount code for 10% off. And the bonus, of course, you get to book your hotels right there, your airline flights. Sage has used the service. And all kinds of things going on at FanRetreat.com. Check them out, FanRetreat.com. Ira, you were in the locker room today with Lee, patrolling around. What do the people need to know from the sage of Tampa Bay sports?
Man, there's some good ping pong players in that damn room
over
there.
It was dead today, wasn't it?
It was a little dead. It was a little dead. But Levante, God bless him, showed up and answered questions. He was a little shaken from the Chicago game. How could he not be, Lee? How could he not be?
I've never seen him so downtrodden in the locker room. That's the last time I talked to him. That's why I wasn't in the scrum with Levante today, because last time I talked to him, I got it on tape.
I reminded him that in case he forgot, you can forget things after a beatdown to that extent. That they're not in bad shape. They are not in bad shape if they go and take care of record wise.
Oh, okay.
If they go take care of business on Sunday,
yeah,
take care of business. All of a sudden, you're 2-0 on against division opponents on the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big plus.
That is a big plus.
That's a big plus. So, maybe they can't catch the Saints and the Panthers or whatever. They can still play relevant games in December. That's all Buck fans want.
Yes.
Relevant games in December. Yes. We had that in 2016. When that season ended, the Bucks fell short, but Buck fans were very encouraged.
Oh, my gosh, all season long. It carried over through the offseason.
And it carried over. Absolutely.
Here's a question. You bring this up. You bring this up, and I just thought of this. The anti-Jameis crowd will go nuts. Didn't Jameis, after his second year, now his third year, injury, it was a horrible year, even though he came around in the last month of the season. people didn't forget that. But, oh, by the way, didn't he not have a winning record in the division his first 2 years?
That could be. Steve doesn't have his computer up. I think they had a good division record, certainly that second year. They definitely did.
I know he beat the Saints on the road his rookie year. I know they beat Atlanta on the road his second year to open
right.
the season.
That's
I want to say he had a winning record again in the division, had a winning record when the season was when his second season was over.
By the way, you guys always like it, Lee. You guys always like it when I reveal little personal things about what's going on with Dante. By the way, he's still hanging in there.
Oh, Dante, yes.
Vet says it's not time. He's going to be 15 in December.
15?
15. In human years, that's older than you, DeKemper, in human years. Now, here's my little nugget for today. We just saw A Star is Born, which is taking the box office by storm. We saw it the other night. That's the one with Lady Gaga.
A Christmas movie this early?
No, it's not a Christmas movie. It's A Star is Born. And no, that is not the Alex Kappa story. I just wanted to remind our fan. This is Bradley Cooper playing, you know, the country western singer. This is the fourth time this movie's been made. It's about a guy who's successful, and he finds an ingenue. In this case, it's Lady Gaga.
Whoa, an ingenue.
An ingenue.
That's a new
see
word.
That, see that, how that got the Kemper's attention? Just the word ingenue, it provokes an image in his
I
mind
don't even
over
know
there.
What that is. It's the first time I've ever heard of that word.
Oh, that's
yeah, it. I'm going to go home and look it up now.
There you go. Well, anyway.
This is the same movie with Andrew Dice Clay, right?
Yeah, he plays Lady Gaga's father. You're right. People are going crazy over this movie. Oh, it's brilliant. It's the Oscar lead, for Best Picture. Hogwash. Pretty good. I give it 3 stars in the Kaufman pantheon. But if that wins Best Picture, I'll give you $50, Izbits.
Now,
like
what pray tell got us talking about Bradley Cooper
I like to drop a little nugget in.
All right, I'm appalled at something you said.
You're appalled at my Alex Kappa reference?
No, I'm appalled at what you said. You said the Bucks are not in bad shape. They're in phenomenal shape. They control their destiny.
Phenomenal shape.
2-2. I just told you that they would be in the playoffs at the season.
They're on a 2-game losing streak. Take it easy.
They're in phenomenal shape. Ira, what is this? Bucks fans just want relevant games in December, you said? They want January. Enough of December.
They're 2-2, and they're underdogs going into Sunday's game. Well, take it easy. Don't
come on.
Over there.
They're playing a 1-4 football team.
Then it's a very good time to play the Falcons.
Then they got the Browns. But
what's wrong with the Browns?
The Browns are getting scary.
Like the Bears, the Browns are better than we thought they'd be. Lee?
Yeah, because I lost money on them this week.
They got themselves a quarterback, apparently.
Yeah.
Apparently. Anyway.
Well, this quarter of the season.
Did you use the word phenomenal? Did you just use that?
I said
that.
I was appalled.
But you said phenomenal shape at 2-2.
Two and two.
Are those your expectations these days?
What?
8-8 season would be considered phenomenal?
All right, Sage.
Oh, did I get it? Lee, did I get him over there?
All right, Sage.
Where's Russo when I need him? Where's the mad dog?
What were your expectations September 1st on Labor Day when you got your feet?
I said they weren't going 0-3.
What were your expectations? 1-3?
Probably 1-2.
1-3. It was four games.
Well, 1-2 going to Chicago, and I didn't think Chicago was any good, but all right. I dispute your phenomenal, and you don't like my word. Not in bad shape.
All right, Sage.
Ingenue.
I can't wait.
You're going to be working on ingenue.
I never met her. I can't go to work.
What
on
else did we get from? What else we
locker
get
room? What anything else in the locker room?
Well,
nothing.
I got one thing. Even
right,
I didn't talk to anybody.
Go ahead, Lee. Go ahead.
Earlier today, Jen Elena tweeted out that OG Howard, almost said OG Anderson. OJ Howard was had a heavy brace on, although he was walking without a limp. He didn't practice, of course, but he was out there. He was on floppy hat patrol. Well, I saw OJ in the locker room. He was only wearing a compression sock on that knee. No brace. He had no idea he was injured unless someone told you. By the way, he walked around. By the way, he played ping pong. You saw that. So, let's cross our fingers. This is a Donovan Smith injury. What I mean
That's
by
right.
that is Smith's injury was much, much less harrowing than initially thought. So let's hope that's the case with OJ. Let's hope he only misses one game.
And that leads me to this point. Not all Buck fans, not a majority of Buck fans, but some Buck fans were suggesting when O.J. Howard was off to a very good start, which he was, hey, let's pedal Brait and get a fourth-round pick for Brait. Steve, how are those people feeling right now? Injuries are going to happen. There's nothing wrong with having two good tight ends, Steve. Nothing wrong with it at all. There's plenty of room for Cameron Brait on this football team, even when O.J. Howard's healthy. There's nothing wrong with
it. Well, absolutely.
And just as Jameis Winston.
All right, they got the number one offense in the league. There's plenty of room for
everybody. Does Winston have a more favorite target than Cameron Brait?
He loves tight ends. He loves Santa. By the way, do you want to say something else Cameron Brate loves? You want to drop it on Ira? Or do you want to wait till the end of the podcast?
Oh, so it was a funny nugget listening to Buccaneers Total Access. Cameron Brate was on before the bye week. And, yeah, they take rapid-fire fan questions.
This is him and Donovan Smith's show?
No. Uh-oh. It's Cameron Brate.
Okay. You're thinking Allie.
Okay.
As a guest with Casey.
Oh, you're right.
But I'm thinking Allie has the same situation Steve's going to mention.
As a guest with Casey Phillips for an hour. And they, one of the fans asked Brate, you know, hey, since as an NFL player, is it difficult to date? And Cameron Brate says, pause, no.
You know what? That's a beautiful answer.
It is.
It's an absolutely beautiful answer. You know, I think it's a silly question because, you know what it reminds me of? Sometimes you'll see, like, a beautiful starlet. I used to go on Johnny Carson. And
who says starlet?
Starlet. And Lee. You know, you remember they used to go on Carson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the flavor of the month or whatever. And sometimes they'd sit next to him and they'd say, man, you know, and Carson would say, like, hey, how's the dating scene out there? And they would complain. No, the men are intimidated by me. I can't get any dates, Johnny. I can't get any dates. I turn to my wife and go, who's she trying to kid? Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to feel sorry for her?
I thought you were going to pull out the old story about Raquel Welch and the cat.
I think that was Jane Fonda. It might have been Jane Fonda.
Someone look up the story.
I'm not telling that story on the podcast.
Yeah, we're
I'm
not going to start. Someone Google Johnny Carson cat.
I'll let the commission do that one, Steve.
That's a commish story.
That's a commish story.
You can hear all the young folks out there saying, Carson Wentz? What?
Yeah.
What else you get from the coaches today, Steve? Anything from Mr. Bajakian or Hoke or anybody?
Well, Hoke came out and talked to the media, took some questions. Lee was the first one over there. And
yeah. I felt bad for the guy.
I can report that Hoke came out and was not wearing a dunce cap. I thought that was important to note that he's not being shamed. But you can tell me if you got anything from him, Ira. But I did think it was interesting. I did ask Buckner, hey, the group effort here, you know, as far as fixing this defense as a whole. And, you know, he went out of his way to say no pointing fingers and all that stuff. And, you know, I think everybody knows how horrible the defense is. But this is really, I think, and I think it might be a theme of our next podcast, there's no excuses. It has to be fixed now. If you can't fix it the next 2 weeks, I mean, after a bye, dire. Familiar team, and then a rookie quarterback, it's dire. Because if you can't do it now, then you're off to Carolina and Cincinnati. And
you're absolutely right. And the Bengals are playing pretty good football.
They are, aren't they? Yeah.
Lee, what'd you get out of my Noah Spence question to Mr. Buckner?
Oh, there was a couple. That was one of the things. When you asked, what do you say to Noah Spence if he wants more snaps? He's work. It sounded like, if I remember correctly, didn't Buckner actually say this? Talent's not the issue with Spence? Did he not say that?
Yeah, he said it's not the issue with anybody on the D-line.
Yeah, because if they weren't talented, they wouldn't be here.
And he also said if Spence isn't frustrated, he wouldn't want him on the team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly, and that's a good sign. A thing that jumped out at me about Buckner was, I don't know what the question was, McCoy related, or someone asked, hey, you guys, you being Bucks, brought people in to help out McCoy, and Buckner immediately replied, I didn't bring in three guys to help Gerald. I brought in three guys to help the Bucks.
Thought that
was very interesting.
Yeah, it was a nice catch by, because coaches just don't think that way, and it was interesting. Well, I'll hit you with this, Ira, before we head out. What are the next Hall of Fame timetables as far as the voting and the deadlines?
Excellent question, my man, because I have a big, big pamphlet on my table at home, which came in the mail about 10 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And they want you to respond by the end of October, and it's a big, thick one with about 100 names in it, and they want it cut down to 25. 25 checkboxes. I haven't done it yet. I'm still doing my research.
What's the deadline?
October 25th, something along those lines.
And then when does that get released?
Probably get released 10 days later, 2 weeks later. Now, look, last year, obviously Lynch made 25, Simeon made 25, and Rondé. To me, that's not the big hurdle for these Buck guys. It'll be the 15. Those are the guys that get in the room. All right, cut down to 25 in late October, and then I believe it's not until the first week of January that you get that next one, which goes from 25 to 15. Those are the guys that get the speeches made for them, the 15 modern-day players and coaches. Coaches are still in that category. That's why it's tough for coaches to get in. The Jimmy Johnson fans and supporters, you know, and Don Coryell, they're wondering, you know, if you're not in that contributor category, you got to go up, you know, against the Ty Laws and the John Lynches and the Steve Hutchinsons.
Good luck.
The voters tend to put players in before coaches. It took Dungy three times. He was in that category. So until they shove those coaches into a separate category, they're going up against modern players. So, Steve, early January is when we can talk about the 15. Now, I'm going to say this. Lee, once they announce the 25, the clock's ticking, you know, and then you got, you know, maybe six more weeks to cut from 25 to 15. I think the Bucks have to immediately spring into action. I'm going to sit down with Brian Glazer at that point and lay it out exactly what they need to do. You got to talk up your own guys. Rondé did not get in the room. He was eligible last year. So was Simeon. Didn't get in the room. I was shocked about Rondé. I was shocked. He didn't, you know, you're going to name 15 guys ahead of Rondé Barber that were eligible that should go ahead of Rondé Barber. So, you know, other teams speak up for their guys. They send out emails. They send out stuff, whether it's a video, whatever you want to do. I think the Bucks have to get a little more involved. Get them in that room, and hopefully I can close the door on it.
Close the deal on him.
I got
close the deal.
I got a quick story about John Hook, Bucks defensive backs coach. There seems to be a narrative with some people, not sure who they are or what the motivation is, but that Brent Grimes is dead in the water, his career. The Bucks benched him at Chicago. Things that I could be dead wrong. I'll admit it. I could be dead wrong. I never got that sense. And as far as Chicago, I think we just debated it here in a recent podcast. I thought basically like the game was over. Even Cutter admitted the game was over at halftime. He told Grimes, we need you for the long haul. We don't need you for the second half. We'll, you know, just rest. And I know Grimes kind of added to the controversy when he went and talked about it. Well, I asked Hoke today. I admitted that, you know, this guy on Twitter is an armchair coach, and he put out clips from All 22. But it appeared to the naked eye, my naked eye, that Grimes was in position to make plays for whatever reason he didn't make them against Pittsburgh, which is the first game
plays
back.
That he's made in the past.
Yes, yes. And a lot of people are making the jump in the conclusion he's over the hill. Well, there was one play I saw him jump in front of, I think it was Antonio Brown. He was in position to make a pick, and he didn't make it. And I asked Hoke, I said, is this accurate, or is Grimes really slipping? What's going on here? And Hoke talked about that very same play specifically, and he said, not only was Brent in position to make the play, when he went to jump for the ball, his cleats got tangled with the other player's cleats.
Yes.
He was off balance and didn't make the play. Otherwise, 99 times out of 100, he has that pick. And he has that pick. I don't think this narrative is going on that Brent Grimes can't play anymore. So I don't know. Again, I could be dead wrong. Maybe Grimes is over the hill. I'm just going by the naked eye. I don't sense that.
I think it's too early to close the book on Brent Grimes. He's got too much of a body of work, Steve. And if this keeps up, you know, for the foreseeable future, we'll see. But right now, I'm not saying Brent Grimes over the hill.
Way too early. And you know what? It's not too early to end this podcast. Sage, you look great. Keep it up. We'll see you back for Thursday's
I got the red on today, baby. The red.
Ingenue.